The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Hello, and welcome to the She Word Mums, conversations mums rarely have, but really should. We have a super special show today, as I, Narissa Massa, am co-hosting with the beautiful Maxine Attard today, and I am so excited for this. Max, how are you feeling?
I am so excited too. I can't believe I'm here. It's surreal, actually. It's a real full circle moment for me. Because I we've spoken about this on the show before, ladies, but I had spoken to Trudy after an interview I had with her many years ago, post a miscarriage I had. And we were just chatting like quite casually about how important it is to have a platform and a space to be able to express yourself, especially kind of during difficult conversations. And I could just see Trudy's like clock ticking in her head, and I could see this idea forming. Sure enough, here we are. The She Word was born. Now the She Word Mums, and now I'm co-hosting on an episode of the She Word Mums. So yes, I'm just so happy.
This all started with like
just
your interview.
Proper full circle moment. So thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm very excited to be doing this with you as well, Max. The episode today is a very special one. We will be talking about everything pregnancy related. And before that, the journey to becoming a mum. We thought there is no better topic to be discussing in the week of Mother's Day than that of actually becoming a mum. And so we would like to start the show today by wishing all the mums and the mums to be a very happy Mother's Day. And to all the women who do not celebrate Mother's Day, whether that's by choice, by circumstance or loss, we recognize that this day can carry a quiet, often unseen grief. We see you and we support you.
In this candid episode, we are going to take a look into the lesser discussed parts of pregnancy that deserve more attention. From the emotional roller coaster that can accompany early pregnancy to the unexpected bodily changes that no one warns you about, we want to unpack the real stories behind the bump, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Joining us today, we have two very special guests. Stevie Aquilina, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Stevie works in financial services. She is mommy to Jackie, who's almost 2 years old. And Stevie also happens to be my sister. So it's really great having you here, Stevie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's very strange calling you Stevie because I never call you Stevie. Thank you. Honestly, we're so glad that you're here. And our next special guest is Claire Balzan. Thank you for being here, Claire.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Claire is a lawyer. She's mum of two girls. So both of you girls and two girls.
Yes.
Claire started an Instagram page called The Art of Mummying, which I just love the name of.
Yes.
She opened it to start connecting with other mums during the COVID-19 lockdown. Those terrible days. I really do love that name because I think mumming really is an art.
Yes. There was a lot of thought behind it. But
sure.
Then when I figured it out, I was like, yes, this should work.
That is the name. It's really catchy and it's really good. And besides being an art, we can all agree, perhaps it's also somewhat of a Hunger Games as
constant.
Well. Constant Hunger Games.
Constant battles.
Ladies, we're so pleased that you joined us today. I'm sure we're going to have a real fun episode full of truths and all sorts.
We're going to expose all.
Yes, absolutely. Exposing all. We're also super grateful to the Hyatt Regency Hotel for having us in this beautiful place. So yes, we're very, very blessed today. Narissa, you want to kick off with our questions?
I'm going to kick off with kind of back to basics.
Okay.
And before the bump comes the conception.
Not too much detail, Tom. It's not that kind of podcast.
But kids do not watch, so you can be a little bit more open. Share with us what your experience was in before conception. So I think everyone comes at it with an expectation. How did that differ to your reality? I'm going to look at Stevie first.
Okay, well, mine was a complete upside down reality. I do think, just to start off, growing up, at least from my generation, it's you want a baby, you meet someone and then you have a baby, right? So that was kind of what I thought of when I was younger. I think today there is a little bit more awareness that it's not like that. And I did know people who, you know, went through years and years of infertility and IVF. So it's not like I was completely blind to that side of things either. However, again, for me, neither was really my experience. So I'm going to give you like a semi-summarized version of what happened, because I don't want to go on too much, but I want to really make you understand why I say I had a planned pregnancy through a completely unplanned sequence of events that happened to me, which was shortly after my 30th birthday. I had my annual smear test with my amazing gynecologist, Dr. Olivianne Cassar, or Miss Olivianne Cassar now.
It's hard to know.
This confuses me, but I do believe she's Miss now as a consultant. And I did my normal smear and we were just chatting. I think it's kind of strange when you turn 30, there is either something that goes off inside or it's coming from the outside of you're 30 now.
An expectation.
The clock starts ticking.
You're in your 30s. Yeah. Do you want kids? Like, people all of a sudden start asking you these questions. Yeah. I don't know if you felt that yourselves, but are you going to get married? You know, me and my now husband were discussing the ideas of getting married, of having kids, but I did not want kids till mid to late 30s.
So this was, you were 30 years old?
I was 30. It was shortly after my 30th birthday. To put things into perspective, I'm now 33. I had this conversation with my doctor and I said, you know, I don't want kids till much later. And she was like, no, I support that. I understand. There were just things I wanted to do without having a child, basically. And she said, you know, for planning purposes only, do this blood test. Next time you get a chance, wrote three letters on a paper, which were AMH. And, you know, I put that in my bag and kind of forgot about it for a little bit. Maybe 6 months later, so now I'm closer to my 31st birthday, I ended up in a private hospital accompanying someone for an appointment, which was meant to be like a 45-minute thing. It ended up being like a 2.5-hour thing. So to pass the time...
As you do.
I had no books, no entertainment, just my phone. To not move into doom scrolling on my phone, I cleaned out my bag, because that's a good thing to do when you're bored. And it was my purse and everything. And I found this paper. I said, fantastic, this will pass 15 minutes. I can go down to the lab. I mean, it was that easy. I went to the lab.
And that and much I did... of an afterthought. Not even like, no, really, I'm going to be there. I'm going to book the test. It's just...
Look, I was going to do the blood test before the next time I saw her.
But 6 months had passed. And
Months had passed for sure. I didn't want to go back to seeing her. Well, she wrote a note and she thinks I didn't take her advice. But I would have done it like the week before I saw her. You know what I mean? So I just... kind of left it in there and back on my mind. 2 days later, I get the results. I'm not a medical profession. I don't know what these results mean, but she had explained to me what the test was for. Now, I am not a medical profession. I am in no way licensed to give advice, but I'm going to just tell you my understanding of it, because obviously I had follow-up meetings and other tests, but AMH stands for anti-Müllerian hormone, AMH. And what it measures in some way, shape or form is the sort of amount of eggs that you have. As a woman, you are born with an infinite amount of eggs, okay? So what you have is what you have, okay? And this, I think... You have these when you're in your mom's stomach at like 6 months, okay?
So, which is absolutely bizarre when you think
about
it.
So there's nothing you do wrong or right to have more or less eggs. It doesn't tell you you have 10 eggs or you have 400 eggs. It gives them a ratio to understand an egg count. Obviously, at 18, you should have one result, at 30, another, and at 40, a different result.
So that kind of explains that body clock, you know, your clock is ticking concept, which I, you know, people say, but do we ever really understand what that
because
means?
Because every cycle you lose an amount of eggs.
Of course. And you lose an egg every month, right?
Exactly.
You ovulate.
I don't know the science behind it, but this is what, it doesn't tell you the quality. It doesn't tell you whether you're fertile or infertile. It's a very simple test.
Yeah.
I had at 30 the egg count of a 40-year-old. Now, wow. There's nothing wrong with having the egg count of a 40-year-old at 40, but not at 30. It was completely unexpected and a huge shock. Even just saying it,
yes, like,
it gives me palpitations, mm-hmm. because it was such, I mean, it wasn't like a terrible medical news in terms of turmoil, but you know, it was such a shock to my system.
A shock, because you just explained to us that you were not ready and planning.
No.
You had lots of things you wanted to do. You had...
I felt like my life got turned upside down. It's like you have a really organized airport packed bag, yeah. with all your stuff really neatly in it. And someone comes, flips it upside down, and you watch everything scatter on the floor. And suddenly I just, my planning, anything went out the window. With... Again, my husband now, he was really happy to have kids. So the news to him was like, oh, we should have kids sooner.
So great, just to tonight, pause you,
what this meant was, if you want to have kids, trying sooner rather than
sooner
later
rather
is
than
going
later.
To give you a better chance.
That's exactly it. So okay. Sooner rather than later is going to give you a better chance. Obviously, after receiving the results and sending them to Miss Olivier and going to speak with her, she gave me options. It wasn't like, go home and try for a baby. It was like, look, this is not the result we wanted. So now you know that if you do want a child, sooner, i.e. ASAP, is better than even next year. But it doesn't have to mean you can't try next year. I'm just being realistic with you.
Yeah.
About
which it has to be completely. Yeah.
They have to give you all the options.
Yeah, of course.
Egg freezing is an option. Another, because you're... It didn't say anything about my quality of eggs. My mm-hmm. quality was still that of a 30-year-old, which is good. But if you don't want kids now, let's say I was single or I just didn't want children at that time, you can freeze your eggs to have like a backup mm-hmm. for, because it doesn't mean that in 3 years' time you won't have any eggs. But again, you may be looking at the results of a 43-year-old. And
you had options.
Exactly.
She
gave
that.
Us the options. But... we chose to start trying for a child, and I was very lucky because this all happened in around May, and I found out I was pregnant at the end of September.
A few months, which is relatively, they say it's the normal range, I think.
I mean, to be fair,
it's a story with a very happy ending.
Hooray!
My story is that of a happy ending and that of one of hope. But it was not what you see on Instagram.
That's your expectation.
Yes.
Can I pause you there? When you get that news and then you have to go home to your husband, you're like, we now need to try for a baby. I'm sure as a man, he's just thinking, hey, it's going to be very raunchy in this household. But how does that change? You know, when you have sex with your husband, it's one thing. But when you have sex, when you're trying to have kids, when you're trying to conceive, that's a whole total different...
Like a scheduled routine thing, right? Don't forget, you have to come home now tonight because I'm ovulating today.
Honestly,
I have a headache.
How is that different for
today,
you?
Emma?
I vaguely knew about this in the sense I'm an educated person. So I had a semi-educated person. I had an idea, but I didn't know what I then found out about, you know, there's like, what, 3 days a month, you know?
But you
maybe.
Wouldn't, right? Yeah. We spend our whole...
Teenage years
being like, oh,
don't get pregnant.
You know, or my mom, you know, the second, you know, Maxi, we go on the pill. And all of this kind of, obviously, because at that time, you're not ready for a child. It's not really the right time, perhaps for some. Maybe if you were a teenage mom, great for you, like if that was what you wanted. But yes, and then suddenly, you, like you said, you're in a relationship or a long-term relationship, a marriage, whatever. And you suddenly like, okay, I want children. I feel like, yes, suddenly the chapter changed and you have to research into, we kind of know, we have our cycle each month, we do know about ovulation. Yeah. Do we know that we ovulate? Did you ever realize that you ovulate? You know what I mean? How, it's not, some people don't even get any symptoms.
My I'm lucky, but maybe because my husband, it was like I told him we had to change the restaurant we're going to for dinner, you know? He was like, well, that's fine, you know? It was really supportive and... happy to go along with it.
Yes,
like it wasn't like, wait, we have to have a baby. I didn't have to deal with any of that. But he also very much made it like, this isn't going to now be our life. Like, basically, we'll try to have kids, but don't tell me at Tuesday at 2 o'clock to have sex, to have a child. It was like, we just go on with it. So in my experience, I didn't have that such, I mean, obviously
you are trying
more maybe during your ovulation, but it wasn't the only time, or it had to be this time. So that pressure maybe for me was taken off, but I felt a lot of pressure internally, because usually your gynae would tell you, if you're not pregnant in a year, speak to me then, because it's not that easy to get pregnant. And I got 6 months. And after those 6 months, I'm not really sure what the plan was going to be. So I was thinking, am I going to have to do IVF treatments? What does she mean? I didn't even want to know, to be honest, because I thought it would freak me out even more. Mm-hmm. So I did feel pressure. And, you know, every period that comes, you do feel a pain, even though it was maybe 4 or 5 times.
But it's a sinking feeling. Such a sinking feeling.
And did you feel like time really slowed down? Like,
it was more, I felt
like the 2 week wait was forever. And then your period comes and you're really, really disappointed or really upset. And in your case, scared. Like,
It was more, I felt like more disappointed than I thought. And also, like this, as I said, kind of the slowdown and maybe inability in a way to plan. Thinking that after this happened, like a couple of weeks after this happened, I got proposed to. So my boyfriend became my fiance, now my husband, but he had already bought the ring and all that. So, you know, he went ahead with his plan to propose. So I was like, I can't even plan
a wedding. How do I know?
Because how do I know that in a year I'm not going to be 6 months pregnant or something? So even that, I mean, it really did kind of, stop life to us. So that's why I'm saying my experience, even though a happy ending and really a journey of hope and maybe a bit of a lesson of planning for people who are in my position that don't want kids till later on, again, doesn't mean because you have a good AMH level, you're going to get pregnant.
A lesson in both planning, in the sense, one, in this way, this is good. You had options. You were given the options to deal with and to consider, and you had a little kind of route. But also how, if we go back a little bit to the beginning of your story, how there is zero planning. Everything's out of your control in a certain way. Yeah. You know, Claire, we'd love to hear from you.
My story is very, very different. So very different. I'm lost into hers at the moment. But
you have two girls.
Yes. Okay. But my husband and I were always sure we wanted kids, like from a very young age. And we got married relatively young for today's...
Okay. How old were you?
We were 20... I was 26, he was 27. So for today, it's young. But for me, it was totally normal. And I was always sure through all my life that that's going to be the age I'm going to get married or leave the house. One or the other. So we got married young. If it were up to him, I would have gotten pregnant the next day after the wedding, because he really was excited to have kids and I really wanted to wait. But then eventually we just decided to meet each other halfway and start trying a year after.
Okay.
And I think because we wanted kids so much, we're always really worried that we're not going to manage. Like one of us is going to have some sort of problem. It's going to be a really hard, journey. We're
so
sure
even
of
before
this.
You were...
Yes, because, you know, you hear so many stories and sometimes the more you want
pressure
it...
suddenly.
Yes, and sometimes the more you want something, you can sense that you're sort of going to be faced with a lot of stumbling blocks, spiritually. But then, I mean, it really wasn't difficult. So we planned a skiing trip because I was like, let's go skiing before, because then obviously I'm not going to go skiing if I'm not even sure if I'm pregnant or not. Because I was like, the mindset I had was like, once I'm pregnant, then I'll enjoy the pregnancy and I don't want to think about other things that I want to do. I just want to live through that, you know what I mean? So
yes,
I didn't go abroad while I was pregnant out of choice, not because it's bad. Or, you know, but I always said like, then I'll live through it and that's it. So when we started trying after the skiing trip, it's like after a month, I was pregnant.
You were pregnant. That's wonderful.
It was
wonderful.
Like, oh my God, it happened. I was expecting it to be so hard and take so long that then I was like sort of, oh my God, it's already happening. So, you know, I was taken aback a bit. We're really excited. We were very happy. And it was great, really. And so the planning, we had a very clear plan, but we were always aware that it, that then we won't know when it was
always skeptical,
you know what
bit.
I mean? So we were...
baby number one.
That was baby number one. Baby number two, so just to answer your second question to Stevie, the sex, you know, we said, let's take the first month easy and just, you know... just don't use protection and that's it. And it happened. So I never had to think.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I never had to think about the science, like how lucky.
Mamma mia. No, I'm more scared than I was before. Like I'm not damn if I have a mistake now. Did that, you know, you getting pregnant so quickly impact your decision on baby number two? So for example, from my end, it wasn't hard for us to get pregnant with my first son, even though we had a couple of miscarriages before, but basically in 1 year I was pregnant 3 times. Pregnant, miscarried, pregnant, miscarried, pregnant with my now elder son. So I knew if anything, I was fertile. So I could get pregnant. So when I wanted to have my second, I didn't think, hang on a second, it could take a bit longer with the second one. I just said, I'm not going to start trying until I'm absolutely ready. And then that took a bit longer than it took with my first. So I was like, whoa, is something wrong? Was it different with your second? I think in our case, we're always so aware that something could go wrong. So even the minute I got pregnant with my first, the first thing he said was like, okay, so what this means is we're fertile. You can get pregnant. That's good news. Even if we lose this baby.
That's step one, yes.
That's amazing. We have like one thing we don't Absolutely. Have to worry about, sort of. So for baby number and for baby number two, we were always saying like, it could be very different. Mm. It might take longer second time around. You know, we're older, like a bit older, but whatever. We're older and, you know, circumstances are different, etc. So we were always thinking of, you know, think of the worst, so that, you know, so we were always thinking of the worst things that could happen.
Cautious.
Yes, and cautious. So when it came to baby number two, then it was, things were different because it was COVID, not spanking middle COVID, but still partial lockdown, not mm-hmm. really comfortable with people, etc., etc. But I was really looking forward to traveling with my baby. with my eldest. And when she was 6 months old, we were like, a bit too early maybe. We were a bit scared at first, even though it was before COVID when she was 6 months. So then when she was 8, I was saying, okay, so for the first time, when she's a year old, we'll take a trip. When she was a year old, COVID hit.
In mama.
So we had never traveled. I hadn't traveled since that skiing trip because...
I didn't want to travel pregnant.
Then I didn't travel with my one-year-old. So the minute COVID hit, I was like, listen, if you want baby number two, it has to happen in COVID, because the minute COVID over, I'm going abroad. So that's where it was a bit different.
So there's no sexy time. This is getting back to work. We're having baby number two.
Baby number two.
So that was the only instance where I felt like I was like
planning
really, you know. But again, I was very lucky. I just missed one. So I got one period in between. Okay. So literally 1 month after the minute I got my first period, I was like, oh no, this is not going to be as easy as it was before. My mind went already.
I made
that
up that
to be really bad and whatever. But then, so that's how I was sort of, listen, I need to check my ovulation a bit, because if we missed one, he's like, it's not, relax, people take years. This is 1 month. So I'm like, for us, it's not, you know, I was expecting it to be instant.
Yes, of course.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection, and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested, so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full. Because nothing should stop you, period.
I mean, I look back and I think, so technically I've had 3 pregnancies. And I look back and say, it wasn't very long. I'm really lucky to have gotten pregnant between 3 and 4 months.
Yeah.
In each and every pregnancy took between 3 and 4 months. And I really respect that. And I'm very, very grateful. At the time, or how your mind really matters in the mindset you are, I remember it feeling like an eternity.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, one period and already kind of going, uh-oh. You know, and I, that's why my heart really goes out to a lot of the women who and couples who have to wait a year and then have to go down that road. But I yes, mentally it does play tricks on you, and ovulation tests and apps and all this kind of stuff. And you think, oh my goodness, but I do remember it being the most unromantic time of my life.
I would definitely say sex when you're trying to have a baby, unless you just happen to... You know, have a night out, you drink, you know, you have sex, you get pregnant. But if you're planning, there's definitely a little bit of apprehension going into it. And you're like, I hope this works.
And I know, and you're trying and trying to enjoy it, and you don't want it to feel mechanical, and you don't want it to be like...
But there is an element where at the back of your mind, there's an ulterior motive.
That's it.
Which is beyond pleasure. You know, when you have sex on any other day, it's, you know, pleasure.
And for me, it was not counting up. It was counting down. So I had to report back in 6 months. So where most people are like, oh, you know, we've already been 3 months, we've already been 6 months. For me, it was like,
yes,
2 months to go.
Yes.
3 months, like whatever, three, two, you know, because I knew I needed to speak to my doctor around November, and I found out I was pregnant September 30th.
So yes.
I kind of very knew close. A week yes. before, like and I was pretty sure.
Oh, actually, this is my next question.
You know me, yes.
How did you know? Find out you were pregnant? Did you have the symptoms before? Was your period late and so you took a test? Or did you have like an intuition?
I knew before I missed my period. I was already feeling sick and nauseous. Maxine was pregnant with James. Mm-hmm. And I could see what she was going through because James is 3.5 months older than my daughter. So it was really close. And I was like, I don't feel good. And I hadn't missed my period yet. And then I remember we went out for like a couple of drinks with friends and someone hugged me by. And I was like, it felt like they had knives pressing into my boobs. Like my boob, that hug hurt so much. And I was like, what was that? What is this feeling? I knew. In fact, I drove Maxine crazy because I think I took my test like a week after I missed my period.
That? I think I took about 17 tests before I even missed it. Like I was so excited.
Let me explain.
So, Andy, a whole week later.
Let me explain. My GP, so not my gynae, my GP who I had confided in when I was going through this, told me, don't do a pregnancy test until you're really sure you're pregnant, like you've missed your period, because you've got already the anxiety of this hanging over your head. The last thing you need is to start seeing negative tests. It can really play with your mind. And I was so grateful for that advice. Maybe I took it a bit too far with the week, but
I wouldn't have listened to a second of that. Yeah. I would have been like, yep, okay, thank you. Can I go into the pharmacy and buy 17
no,
pregnancy
I really
tests?
Appreciated it. And you know what? I had like this dinner coming up with like sushi and wine and stuff. And I was like, I'll be damned.
I am having that sushi.
So I went to this dinner. I
drank all the wine.
I drank wine. And I was like, I'll do the test tomorrow. I'm going to enjoy.
Ignorance is bliss.
I don't know.
Doesn't count. Exactly. You know.
How was it for
I
you?
I knew. But I the test before I missed my period and it was positive immediately. Uh-huh. Like oh, wow. Literally, but from the toilet seat to the sink to wash my hands, like boom. My husband was like, what? Oh yeah. Couldn't amazing. Believe it. It was instantly positive, but I knew it. I was so sleepy. I was never sick. Take it back. I was a bit sick during my pregnancies, but not like really bad, you know, but I was always really sleepy, especially like in the morning. I'm ready for work and driving to work and I'm snoozing on the steering wheel. I
so
couldn't.
The first symptom was sleepy.
Yes, yes. And I was feeling so sleepy and I couldn't explain it because, you know, right now, if I'm sleepy, I can explain it. I didn't sleep. I have two young kids.
I have two children.
I've been running around. But at that point, okay, I was working like long hours, etc. But I couldn't explain that sleepiness to that extent where I can't even drive to work at 9 o'clock in the morning because I can't really hold my eyes open. So
how amazing, okay. Instantly.
So I instantly knew, and the only thing that I waited was I told him, listen, because he was telling me, why don't you wait until you miss your period before we do it? We don't stay doing it for nothing. I'm like, I'm sure I want to do it. I want to know. I want to be sure, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, I'll wait till tomorrow morning. So at least it's the first pee, because if it were for me, I would have done it at 5 p.m. But
so you waited 12 hours.
I waited 12 hours. Because, you know,
you waited a week.
And in both of them, this happened. Like I knew, as in for our second girl, I was like, shall we do it? I'm like, don't do this again. Why don't you wait now? There's no hurry. I'm like, I know. I feel it. I think it's true. It can't be.
Sure enough.
So and my husband was really relaxed.
Do you think that's is that intuition or was that because you felt the fatigue already?
I felt, I felt like, I think I'm pregnant, you know?
Because that was one of your questions, no? Like, is it an intuition?
Yes.
Which is bizarre symptoms. To explain.
Let's leave out the fatigue and the sleeping as well. But other symptoms, like, I was always trying to see if my boobs are sore or if
So this was me. So for me, every pregnancy had breast tenderness. And that's how I found out.
Nothing.
So because I had two miscarriages, I had that. And so every month in the week running up to my period, I would be constantly touching my boobs in the hope that they would feel tender.
I did that too, but...
Are we good? No.
They were never.
And then when with my eldest, when I was pregnant, I was so, you know, when you kind of say, it can't happen, it's not happening, and you don't want to get your hopes up. Mm-hmm. And I remember my husband squeezing me to see if my boobs hurt. And when you think about it, you think, this is ridiculous. But it was, for me, it was always the boobs. Always the boobs. Oh, and that is what was the trigger to make me think, okay, I think I'm pregnant. But I never tested before I missed my period. I was so superstitious. So that's...
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with Stevie. We're like this team B. I was like, it's next week. Fine, I'll do it now. You're reading. It's too early. It's okay, I'll just do it.
In fact, Maxine was the one bugging me every day. When are you going to do this test? And my husband never even asked. Like, he was so relaxed. And she, on the other hand, I was like...
She couldn't believe it. It's a personality as well. I'm the type, like, if I know there's a present somewhere on Christmas, I want to open it. I can't. I hate it.
I couldn't wait. And the thing is that my husband was always like, listen, this is our thing. Whenever you do a pregnancy test, you have to do it together.
Oh,
and I'm like, but you're getting your ass up at 5 o'clock in the morning because I'm not going to wait past my first pee. Because, you know, at 5 a.m., I can sense that I need to pee, even if usually I wake up at 7, for example. So I was like, 5 o'clock, come on.
You're like
drowsy.
I did both of them. Oh, no, yes. The first one, the baby we lost, we did together. But the second two, Adrian Combinazione, both was abroad. And so I did it alone, found out alone, and always found a different way
to tell him.
Be fair, actually, and you're reminding me, for our first, he was going abroad for... like 4 days, and I was like, I'm not gonna wait 4 days, we're gonna do it before. So that was one of the reasons that I did it so early.
Yes.
So that at least because I told him, I'm not gonna do it without you. But then it was a bit of a bittersweet, because the minute we got to know, then the next day he went abroad and I was alone. As in, okay, it was no big deal, but I didn't want to tell anyone because it was really, for me, it was too early. I never wanted to sort of share the news too early, so it's like, you know, I'm the only one in Malta who knows.
So we're talking about, we're pregnant now. And it's really early. And I think after a week or so, personally, other symptoms kicked in, different symptoms to different pregnancies. But what I find really funny about this superstition, maybe, or let's keep quiet for the first 12 weeks or so, I understand why we do it. But it's also, don't you feel like those 12 weeks are the hardest 12 weeks and the ones where you are keeping totally silent? Yeah. It's more like, why? I'm struggling in silence instead of being able to tell my colleagues and my friends and my family, I am exhausted, please come help me with my toddler, or can I have a room tray? Or you know what I mean? Can you help me?
To be fair, I changed my mind between my first and my second. So for my first, we waited for the 10 weeks, went to a gynae, got an ultrasound,
a scan
or whatever, sure, heartbeat, everything. Then we shared the news to immediate family, so
yes,
my parents, etc. For the second, I was like, listen, we need to share it before because think about it. Help. No, and think about it. If you miscarry, you're going to tell everyone anyway.
This is the thing. We keep this news. I mean, obviously, don't post it on Facebook if you're not happy to tell the whole of Facebook you've miscarried. But you have to think about, I think, and that's what we had done with our pregnancies, is who would we tell if we miscarried?
Exactly. Mm.
And those people then deserved to feel the joy we felt when we found out, rather than just the pain, if that's what we were going to share with
them. And also, I feel like the support system, you gain more support system, whether it's from your boss or your colleague, because you have severe sickness or severe fatigue. You need to take some time off. You need some extra help at home. For example, if you had a toddler, like...
And there's also the thing, when you're pregnant in certain times of the year, because I was pregnant at my Christmas party at work, how difficult was it to not drink alcohol? In my first trimester. So everyone's like, oh, would you like a gin and tonic? And you're like, I've got one. It's actually water, but they don't know. So it's just the hiding.
Yes. I mean, and each to their own. I respect everybody and everybody's decision to
did you find
privately.
It hard to hide?
In At the first work time? Was a bit tough because I was miserable, basically. Out there. I was really, really sick. Not so much the actual physical vomiting, which I had, but it was the 24/7 intense nausea that was worse, or if not 24/7, a lot of the time. So I did actually tell a colleague of mine who sits exactly near me, because I said, she's going to think I'm crazy, eating crackers all day. Working more and more from home, feeling terrible. So I said,
acting miserable, really grumpy.
So I said, you know, I'm going to confide in her. And she was really amazing and supportive. But I think at that point, I felt a bit of a relief because I was pregnant. Whereas I look back, I understand my decision when I was trying, I kept it quiet. And no one was expecting me to be trying because all my friends and family knew I didn't want kids till much later. And not because you have to be married before, but I had just got engaged. So people are expecting me to come to them with a wedding date, not a due date. Exactly. So I found that quite miserable. But at the same time, I didn't want to share it because I didn't want the pressure of people asking me. So I suppose then the hiding the first sort of few weeks wasn't as bad. I did, though, end up telling, like you said, close family, obviously immediate family, very close friends and stuff like that, maybe sooner than others. But that was probably the work element was tough because you do change, at least me, since I was miserable, there was a change. So, yeah. That is the tough part. I don't know, because you work in an office environment, you felt...
Yes, but first of all, in my first pregnancy, I mean, I was really tired and sleepy. I was nauseous always at night. So in the evening, I cook dinner, sit down, you eat. I'm not going to touch it. It used to make me sick.
Looking
to cook.
At cooking, yes.
Cooking used to make me sick, and then I didn't used to eat. But other than that, I was fine in the morning. I was like, aside from the fatigue, I was fine.
Probably because you got so tired by the evening that the nausea would kick
off.
It
could be, and it wasn't really bad. As in, I've never threw up or whatever. Just literally a bit nauseous and tired, and that's it. So at work, I never had that sort of struggle that I needed to hide it, etc. And I didn't show for quite a few months, as in I changed my jeans immediately because I couldn't stand the button. But other than that, I was fine. So at work, it didn't really bother me. But for the second, then the thing is that, as we were saying, even if you miscarry, I needed someone to take care of my kid while I go to hospital or whatever. So I was like, listen, we tell them as soon as we can, and I don't care if there's something wrong or whatever, they'll help us. They'll have to help us through it. I didn't tell everyone, but I told really close friends and family who I knew I would need to rely on. I think the struggle I had the most to hide it was that I was so excited. I couldn't wait to tell everyone. So, and my husband was very like, we only tell these for now, and then we move forward. So I was like, oh, I want to tell everyone.
I'll tell the world.
So sweet.
So that was my struggle, because at a point I couldn't care less who knew. I just was super happy and that's it. And I couldn't wait to show, so that I'm like, oh, I have a bump. But
there's also that you have this period where you're in between. You're getting a bit big, but you don't have a bump yet. So people are just going to think I'm fat. Yes. I can't quite fit into a maternity jeans, but yet I can't fit into my old jeans. There's this awkward...
That's all good 6 weeks or something it is. I don't know.
Did you have that?
For me, it was like closer to winter. So kind of...
The baggy clothes.
Yeah, like leggings. Like in summer, it would be much more difficult. I mean, I felt it myself, but like, a baggy shirt. I'm sure some people thought it. Maybe, or thought, I was eating a few too many snacks at night. But I think by the time, obviously, I have one child. So I think the second pregnancy, from seen, you show a lot sooner.
Yes, I don't know about you, because you don't have more.
I only had the one experience so far. So kind of, I didn't show maybe as quickly.
So currently pregnant with number two, and... got so much bigger, so much quicker. I remember, and it's silly to compare, because I remember even the guy and he's saying your pregnancies are going to be different with every single time. No matter how many children you have, you will never have the same pregnancy, just like obviously the child is different. And I think I remember with James, I did a play when I was about seven and a half months pregnant, and only if I wore like a really tight dress, everyone was like, oh my gosh, we didn't realize on stage you were pregnant. You know, like you said, like a baggy shirt. I would be wearing maternity jeans, but a baggy shirt. And that's very much my fashion anyway. And with baby number two, like my body went, ah, we know what to do here.
Yes.
Pop, there you go.
Uterus is like, I've been there before. I'll just get myself ready and just stretch.
So I didn't even go through that awkward phase. Yeah. It was just like found out I'm pregnant.
Showing pregnant.
Yes. Which in a way helped, because it's a bit like, okay, get out the clothes straight away from the storage and all of that.
I find that so much easier, because I remember with my first, that awkward kind of time between not showing and showing, people would look at you and you could see some stares at the bump, which I... And you don't want to say anything. And equally, you know they're thinking it. So there's this awkward exchange of glances. And you're almost like, just look at my eyes. And, you know, and it's very awkward, because when you don't want to tell people, you just don't want to tell people.
It's hilarious now. Blatantly very pregnant, and you see people, which is sweet because they don't want to put their foot in it, but it's still, I find it hilarious. I just leave them for as long as possible, like in this agonizing, is she, isn't she? And I'm just like, huh.
Speaking of the bump, how did you feel, because this was one of my icks, with people touching your bump during pregnancy?
I hated it.
Tell us more.
I liked when my husband was like, getting all over the baby, sweet, and trying to have a relationship already or whatever. But other than that, I'm like, leave me alone. So I'm quite a touchy-feely person. I'm a hugger. So I found it quite odd of me. But I was like, no, please no.
And you see the hand in slow motion.
Yes. And I'm like... and somehow it felt weirder when men did it, because you don't expect it out of men.
Yes.
Men, not my husband. But why? Why do you need to?
Maybe they're just fascinating at the fact that we can do this. So they're like, oh my gosh.
To be fair, if you think about it, it's sweet, because people do it with good intention. But sometimes it's a bit like crossing a boundary to an extent. Like, it's my personal space, okay.
How do you like people touching your baby bump?
I just don't feel like I give off the impression that you can come up to me and touch me or give me a hug. So I didn't have that issue.
Like in general or just pregnant?
No, just in general. Like, I'm not that friendly that you would feel you could come and touch my stomach. So I don't think I had that issue.
In the whole 9 months, nobody came.
I mean, like maybe you.
Probably.
Or like our aunts or something. But no one... No one outside that very small circle.
Worse, surely. Worse than people touching your bump. Il madoffi, how big you are.
Yes. Why do people have the right to comment?
But it's not just the right. It's what makes you think like that's going to make me feel great.
Honest, I think one of the things I struggled with being pregnant, now that you just mentioned this, is suddenly, very suddenly, I felt like people it was like an oxymoron. People felt the right to police my body for the first time in my life and also celebrate my body for probably the first time in my life. You are being policed and celebrated.
And when you say policed, give us an example.
Don't live that. Oh, you're still exercising. Mm. No, be careful. You're pregnant. You shouldn't be doing that. Don't eat that. I don't think you better research that you can eat that. And then on the contrary, oh my God, wow, look how much you've grown. Wow, you're glowing. You're there. But I found that very difficult because someone tells me, you know, don't exercise. Like, I've already lost. Sorry, I was not a happy pregnant woman. So I already felt like I had, you know, given up a lot. You're going to tell me to give up safe exercise. That was...
I think unsolicited advice...
In general,
comes
right?
more yeah. so during pregnancy. It's like the baby yeah. is everyone's.
Everyone's.
No one would normally say to you, oh, maybe smoked salmon, you know. But during pregnancy, everyone feels they can. But also, I just feel like, like you said, the comments, either way, because sometimes, you know, there'll be some people will say, 27 weeks, what a small bump.
Yes.
And that
and
can
and
get
yes.
you feeling really yes, anxious. Yes. Oh, something wrong, is my baby not growing? As opposed to still 27 weeks and you're already this big? Yes. God, see you when you're 40 weeks. Sorry, no, thank you. I did not ask for your comments. I am already feeling relatively uncomfortable. You know, if you're 40 weeks in the summer, especially in Malta, God help you, because it's very uncomfortable. Because it is. Yeah. And the last thing you need is people having the right to come over to you and be like, oh, big bump, small bump.
I've actually said this before, I think, one of the SheWed podcasts, in fact. I was just like, just say they look nice, guys, even if it's a lie. Just say it. You look lovely.
You look
yeah,
lovely.
Someone told me.
You look wonderful.
Someone told
how
me
are you feeling?
How fat my face was looking. Like to my face, like full on, wow, I can really see that you're pregnant now because your face is so fat.
Oh like my that. God.
Thanks.
Some how do you react to something like that?
Like stare down, like what?
I know
like,
at the time, wild. I'm probably shocked, but then I wish at the time I could say something like, do you seriously think that that's a nice thing to tell someone?
No, if someone tells me that again, I will just say, well, you must be pregnant also because you're very fit too.
No, I do. I think I had said, I'm growing a human. What's your excuse? Something like,
did you have comments?
I think I was very lucky in the sense that I can't like think of a moment where someone said something about how I looked when I was pregnant. I was like,
I know why. You were one of those lucky women who had the glow that they talk about. But this wonderful glow. I'd love to see what the glow
did you enjoy being... Sorry, I'm asking a question.
Yes, go.
Okay, co-host over here.
Did you enjoy being pregnant?
Yes. You see, there you go.
Yes, I enjoyed
it.
She
was glowing and like, yes.
And even any comment I received, I took it in my stride. So even if it was negative, I was like, I'm pregnant. Because it was something I wanted for so long and I was excited about it. But I think what changed for me and what made it a bit of more pleasant than what you were saying, because I think I would still have been very annoyed at they say at my face. Because now when I look at my photos, pregnant photos, I'm like, oh my God, my face is so fat. It's the only thing that bugged me from physically, because I got these cheeks. Because I didn't have a really big belly, so I was never too big. But my face bugged me, the fact that I looked chubby. But whatever. My husband thought it was cute.
So really sweet.
Or else he lied. It's one or the other. But I think because I was so young, I was the first one from my group of friends to be pregnant, aside from a couple of friends. But the rest, the friends from school and friends from work in my age group, I was the first to be pregnant. So everyone was really excited and sort of living my pregnancy vicariously through me and asking me questions. I'm like, what are you feeling? How is it? Do you feel like this? Do you feel like... So they were more concerned and curious about what it was like to be pregnant and whether I was excited, and they knew that I was happy about it. So I got more comments of that nature rather than you look or... But maybe people around me are kind. Kinder.
Well, you enjoyed it as well. And from what you've explained so far, you hadn't had a terrible experience of pregnancy. Like, am I correct in saying that you liked being pregnant?
Yes. The second time round, I didn't enjoy it as much because I was locked in the house.
Oh gosh, of course, you mentioned COVID.
It was COVID.
And you had a toddler.
Yes, but okay, the struggle there, okay, so the fact that you can't sleep because you have fatigue, because I had the same symptoms, so I was really sleepy again when the second during the second pregnancy. So what was a big struggle was I can't sleep after work.
No.
At 7 at night,
because you're entertaining,
even though I'm going
there.
To bed at 10, because, you know, I couldn't. And when I was pregnant with my first, I remember telling my husband, what do people who have kids do? Because yes. I can't imagine having a kid already. Mm-hmm. So that was a bit, you know, difficult in that sense. But other than that, I enjoyed it anyway. I was a slightly bigger with my second, which they say it's normal. But I can't say I didn't enjoy my second pregnancy. Yes. I don't have photos of my second pregnancy, for example, because I was always at home. Yes. No lift selfies, you're going out all dressed up. I was always at home. So the only thing that I... it's a piece of advice for whoever is pregnant. Take photos. I booked one photo shoot for each pregnancy. That. I don't even have a pre-wedding photo shoot. I couldn't be bothered. But for when I was pregnant, I booked one for each and I don't regret it because at least I have a decent photo pregnant with both of them. It's
so
a memory.
True. I feel like I don't
see the photo, I...
Tell us about how you felt pregnant.
So I obviously, I say this from a really privileged place, right? Because I'm sure people are watching this who like, all they want is to be pregnant and they maybe can't be right now or are struggling. So please take what I say as my own experience, not, you know, trying to cause offense. But wow, I did not enjoy being pregnant. I really didn't enjoy it. So I'm looking at you like, really like... Oh, like, I wish. No. It's like so amazing to hear because I'm like, you know, I wish I could feel like that. And maybe if I had another child, maybe I'll feel like that. I don't know. But there was just nothing nice about being pregnant.
Okay, what was the worst? If you could point to something, like, was it physically changes in your body?
Yeah, like everything. But I can go through all the worst things. Everything was worse. The physical changes, I didn't enjoy growing bigger. Call me vain or materialistic, I don't mind. But it's true, I don't know many women who enjoy getting bigger and seeing their body change, even though obviously it is maybe temporary. Okay, I'm not saying you wake up after you have a baby and you're back to what you were originally. But it's like a 9-month journey, kind of. But I didn't enjoy that. I was very uncomfortable. I didn't enjoy my body being policed, as I said before. I felt like I had to give up everything I enjoyed doing. So I really enjoy high intensity gym. Not that it shows per se, but I really enjoy I enjoy fitness. And at the time, actually, I was quite fit and going to quite a few high intensity gym classes. And I continued to exercise. I did a Pilates class the day before I gave birth, but I had to change to Pilates and slightly less intensive gym exercise. So I gave up that. You mentioned the clothes before. Even that, I know it's going to sound so silly. Had I had an unlimited wardrobe, I don't know if you felt this way, but an unlimited wardrobe created by some, you know, stylist that said, you can wear all these things pregnant. I really feel like it would have been a help. Because the clothes really sucked. And also, how much stuff are you going to buy that's bigger? You kind of see it a bit wasteful for X amount of months. So I didn't enjoy dressing up anymore because I didn't like what I was wearing and I didn't like how I looked.
How you felt.
I felt like I had to give up a real lot. You're pregnant, you know. Some smart person would say, wait till you have the baby. But it was more, I felt sick for quite a few months. Yeah. So even that, I don't know.
I think it's a really valid point. And I know you had your disclosure, like, and rightly so, that it's from a blessed and privileged point of view. But also, if you think about it, you, for 30 odd years, 30, right? You got pregnant? Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
Yes? So 30 odd years.
31, yeah.
31 years. However old you are when you get pregnant, you are... yourself. You are in the person that you recognize, the size that you wish to be, whether it's large or small or whatever. And then you start planning for pregnancy and then you just, or at least society is meant, you, society makes you feel or believe that you have to just adapt. Like you just have to be happy with the changes in your body and you just have to be grateful and it's all beautiful. And it is.
You don't get me wrong. A lot of people who make it seem really beautiful. And, so and my they, expectation they was.
Yes.
I think that is what we're trying to say is there is an expectation that every pregnancy is beautiful, glowing, you know.
But
no one really spotlights the swollen ankles, the fact that you're waking up three times in the night to pee, the bloatedness, the gas. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, bowel movement changes are normal during pregnancy. I was reading how, you know, the relaxing muscle that you have, which starts preparing your pelvis to widen so you can have babies, actually changes some women's shoe size permanently. I mean, it's ridiculous, the physical changes. Yes. So while it's amazing that, you know, Claire, you got to enjoy it, but there is a lot of it.
I think for this episode, we put a pin in the amazing, but let's be realistic.
No,
it's not easy that in 6 months, however, you know, from when your body starts changing, whatever, it's the first week.
I also felt, I thought that it was presented to me growing up that the first 3 months you're sick in the morning, because they call it morning sickness. It was all day. And then like the last 6 months you really enjoy. For Siha, last 2 weeks you're really uncomfortable and dying to get bed. You see it in the movies. But for me, like the fact that like 4, 5, 6 months I was still like, oh, I feel miserable. Yeah. It wasn't pleasant. And you know, you feel slightly guilty for saying it because you're really aware of
100%
the people around you, you know, looking at you and saying, wow. But
I think we need to. And I think, to be fair with you, if you like, at least my algorithm now especially is showing me lots of videos of women being honest about their pregnancies, about their symptoms. I even posted about my first trimester as well. And that does now kind of shift the mindset to the more realistic side of pregnancy, which I think is super important. Because as I was saying before, it's not easy to just suddenly change your mindset and everything you know about yourself and adapt straight away and say, okay, this is my body now. Like, I'm sort of struggling with that now. I'm grateful. I can't wait to meet this baby. But I'm already thinking, oh, what changes am I going to have now? Because I know the changes I had.
But that's
James.
One thing. Even though I enjoyed both my pregnancies and I feel, I always felt lucky to have easy pregnancies because you hear the horror stories and you sympathize.
So
and I feel sorry, you know, for people who have to go, who cannot enjoy it because they have so many bad symptoms. I think one thing that sort of predisposed me to be looking forward to being pregnant was my mom is always rambling on about how fun it was during pregnancy and how she loved every second of it. So I was like expecting it sort of. I can't imagine having a bad pregnancy after my mom having pictured it perfect.
It's so lovely.
So thank God I got to experience this. I got to go through a similar experience. Mm-hmm. But my mom, like when my mom used to look at me pregnant, she used to say, it's all the symptoms you have. I didn't even have them. My mom had an even better pregnancy because even though I didn't mention them, I had swollen ankles in August. Yes. Veins. Yes. I had like a weird nerve that used to burn in my thigh.
In my thigh.
And we couldn't figure out what it was. And it kept on. Then after giving birth, it lingered. And then it became numbness.
Oh,
so I have a part of my thigh. I couldn't feel it for like 9-10 months after I gave birth. Oh. And then when I got pregnant again, it came back. I remember once stopping in the middle of the street after going to a grocery store in Gozo. We were there for a weekend or something, taking out the milk from the bag and just putting it on my thigh because the burn was too bad in the summer. It was really hot. So there were these like little instances where I was uncomfortable, but I was so happy and on the whole, I was fine. And I kept doing everything I used to do that I didn't mind it as much. But I was always very aware that others.
I mean, I didn't, thank God, have any complications or like a bedridden pregnancy, which some people do. So technically mine was actually
smooth.
From a medical point of view, it was a dream.
Sorry,
but I didn't enjoy it. And I think I found it ironic during my pregnancy that people refer to you as being pregnant as expecting. And I was like, wow, but I was not expecting all of this change.
But I think the word, I don't want to throw you off your plan. But I think the worst changes were after.
True, that's a whole episode coming
up. Postpartum.
That is a whole postpartum other is that. Episode.
So I think this
it is the gift that keeps on giving.
In fact, now that you said it, and I know you have other episodes, so I'm not going to go into it, but people speak about loss of identity after they had a baby. Mine began when I was pregnant. I really felt like I began my loss of identity during pregnancy.
I think because you had to give up so much in the sense, you know, your image and how you felt about yourself, the gym. You already explained all of that, you know.
But we spoke about...
It can be hormones.
Bodily changes. And in fact, I was going to come to, but then how were you from like an emotional perspective? Because I saw a massive change in my hormones. For the first 3 months, I was miserable and angry at the world, especially my husband.
And genuinely, and I apologize. Are you miserable and angry or you're not?
I'm not a genuine... I'm joking. Depends who you ask. No, I'm generally not like that. But I just remember everyone getting on my nerves.
It's so amazing.
Very
game.
Limited patience. And then I kind of... Obviously, I was complaining more because then obviously I got uncomfortable as I got bigger, etc. But... I just remember the first 3 months, yeah. The hormones. Did you experience that? Claire's going to say, no. It
no,
isn't.
No, I was emotional. I was emotional. So I was a crying. Bit of emotional crier. Like, you know, if something happened, I was like emotional really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Are you sensitive naturally though, normally?
I'm normally sensitive.
Okay. And so it was elevated.
Yes. And if I watch a movie or whatever, and... I think we're going there soon, but also these smells and what you like, what you don't like, la la la. That also, Emma,
yes,
maybe
yes, that's
for the next question.
That's coming soon.
But what is really freaky is that after having two kids, sometimes I can't get emotional now.
What?
Oh. They turned they you into a you. Hard.
So yes. What? You can watch a movie. So I have to stop myself watching certain
like,
films with children.
Stop it! Why are you crying now? Like I can't. Because my mom is to the other extreme. So if you sing and you have a nice voice, but I can't.
How weird!
A rod.
How were you hormonally, Stevie? She's looking at her sister.
Yeah, I'm like always grumpy, no? So I remain. I don't think it changed much. I'm not...
No, I can't.
I don't remember feeling up and down.
Definitely didn't become more emotional.
No, I'm not super emotional. So I think it remained as it was before.
I was with you. I feel as though I'm usually more of a positive, even like the outlook, like it just your kind of temperament or what the disposition or whatever word you want to use. But not so much with James. With James, I had a bit of anxiety. It was a post miscarriage pregnancy. So I remember feeling a little bit nauseous, but mostly anxious. So it was a lot of therapy and a lot of going through, trying to keep calm and things like that. But genuinely enjoyed that pregnancy, had beautiful hair, beautiful nails. I remember I definitely had a glow with James. Yes. Like people would tell me all the time. Pregnancy number two, within, I can't even explain, a few days, this nausea hit and didn't leave for a good 5 months. Mm. And that wasn't the only change. I feel like mentally I changed. So, I mean, everyone bothered me. Mm-hmm. Every single thing somebody said, I would want to rip their head off. Traffic, I'm normally calm in the car. I put on a podcast, I put on music or whatnot. I would be like the person hooting and like super angry. And I'm just feeling this rage coming up and this different person. And you start not to recognize who you are. Like, that's not me. I don't feel like me.
You know what I told you?
Miserable though. Miserable. Like in Christmas, we went to England. I just wanted to be in bed all day. I didn't care about anything festive. I was just sick all the time, like as if I want to be here and just the worst monster of myself. And then I don't know what happened. Suddenly then, it's like we've entered stage two, I was going to say, trimester two. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay, the fog has lifted and I sort of feel a bit more positive.
What did I tell you? I think before you even knew you were having a girl, or then you knew and you didn't tell me.
Yes.
I said, you're having a girl. Although I know it's an
But Claire had two girls.
I know. That's why I know funny. It's a myth. Yes. It's just because when she was pregnant with James, she was like really happy and glowing and whatever. And I was sitting next to her pregnant with my daughter, Jackie, and like really like not enjoying
used
it.
To say I was have a really, boy.
Because easy pregnancies are associated more with boys. And in fact, Maxine and I can really relate on our pregnancies because we both had boys in the beginning and they were very similar pregnancies, and then girls and very similar pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And in fact, coming on to different pregnancies, and this is a question I can ask Claire as well, because she has the same gender. But did you have any pregnancy cravings, like any weird ones?
Yes.
I mean, some people like munch on ice. I've had someone wanting to like sniff petrol.
Ara.
Yes, really weird ones.
The ice thing is real with my second, and my teeth were not sensitive.
As so you could literally eat ice.
And I loved it. I used to eat ice all the time. And if I get a drink, extra ice, and I eat the ice, I don't let it melt. And I enjoy crunching on it.
Oh my God. So
it doesn't hurt. And now I try to do it because it's fun in my mind. And my teeth are sensitive. I can't. I'm like,
to be fair with you, it would relieve some nausea for me. So I would kind of have like flaked ice in a drink, but it wouldn't be like eating.
I loved it. And I used to be able to bite ice creams. I don't know how, because I don't anymore.
And this was with your second.
Yes.
This was the start of you becoming the ice queen, you see.
Yes, Elsa.
I can't. No more.
We can call you Elsa.
And did you have any cravings with your first?
Yes. But the thing is that before I had my first, I was the weird one who doesn't really enjoy bread or pasta or pizza. Yes. Weird. I loved and was obsessed with rice always through all my life. And I liked my junk food, etc. If you don't think. But pasta, like, for example, before we got married, I used to call my mother-in-law and say, like, what are you cooking today? She said, I'll make you some rice. I won't boil pasta for you with the sauce we're doing, because I know you prefer rice. And even if you go out to a restaurant, I'd steer away from pizza or pasta. I used to eat them, but
not your choice.
They wouldn't be my first choice, and I didn't enjoy them at all. The minute I got pregnant, I'm eating pasta every day. My sister-in-law is like, who are you? Why are you getting pasta from the canteen at work? I love this. It's really good. So,
it's so weird.
It's
so
weird. And then I hated. Yes, I hated what I loved then. So I loved peppers, bell peppers. I couldn't stand bell peppers during pregnancy. And I couldn't smell coriander. From a mile away, I'd know a place. I'd ask you not to put coriander. The minute the guy went out of the kitchen once, I turned to my husband. I'm like, we're returning this dish. And we're like, how are you
Came
sure?
with coriander.
It had coriander.
What is it about the sense of smell that suddenly heightens it?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
And after I gave birth with my first, the second she came out, my sense of smell went through the roof.
No, don't tell me that, because I'm petrified it gets worse than it is now.
It was really bad. I can still remember the smell of the perfume that they had when my eldest was born at 10 p.m. on New Year's Eve.
Oh wow.
That's a story. And I can still remember the perfume that everyone was wearing when they came to have a look at midnight.
All dolled up after the party.
Everyone's dolled up and I'm like... And I can still smell the perfume and the onions in their mouth.
Oh my god!
It was really bad. The sense of smell was so bad.
I had to wear a mask. Up until recently, I had to wear a mask with like an Altacura patch in it to change James's nappy. I couldn't.
Yeah,
he used to say, "My mommy wearing a mask." Like, yes, because I'm actually every smell.
I didn't
anything.
Mind it pregnant.
But then again, maybe I'm just overdramatic, but this was something that added to like not enjoying it, because I had aversions more than cravings. So
why you don't enjoy retching at every single smell?
No, what I mean is it was not really so much of a heightened smell, but for example, I don't eat meat or like chicken. I eat fish basically. So I love like vegetables and fish. I love pasta and pizza as well. But I couldn't eat, like I could basically eat like bread and like wraps and very few vegetables and anything that before I really enjoyed. And I used to find it a bit depressing that I'd go and get my fish, cook it at home, and just go,
nope,
not for me.
Yeah.
Depressing. I mean, that's a bit exaggerated.
How long did that last?
It lasted a while.
It's so bizarre. But I think it's part of the fatigue. Like, I don't know, maybe your body's craving more carbs to be able to run on more fuel.
After I gave birth, I still love them now.
Oh, yes,
okay. So it didn't change.
So the peppers, I got back to eating them. But I never... So the things that I didn't like before and I started liking were pizza and pasta, with my first pasta and bread, with my second pizza. So pizza
and it remained. Later.
And they remained. And cola. I never used to drink cola at all.
Soft drink.
Coca-Cola, never.
Now you love it.
During my first pregnancy, I used to stop my husband at the machines on the street. Please get me one.
Oh,
and I used to drink not even half a bottle, because I was so... like aware that it's
sugar
unhealthy,
and yes,
blah,
yes.
blah, blah. So I used to take a little bit. It's like a drug, every day. Like,
that kick of sugar. I couldn't drink water. I had to drink orange squash.
Before, it never did anything to me. Like, funny.
My digestive system, guys, went bonkers, which is like an actual normal thing. But if you don't do any research, or, you know, Google becomes your best friend, right? Like 3 o'clock in the morning, Googling all these symptoms. But otherwise, it's quite like scary suddenly.
You can't
go to the bathroom, getting this buildup
like
of
constipated
gas and your stomach and one of the worst things, I think.
It's very awkward as well, especially like if, you know, all of a sudden, and the more you go on in your pregnancy, the kind of less control you have over certain things, if you know what I mean. So if you're passing wind... when you're 39 weeks pregnant, there's zero control. So you're very much hoping, you know, you're not...
We used to call it air quality control. And sleeping in separate bedrooms. What do you do?
But no one tells you.
No, that's true, actually.
You're 39 weeks pregnant and
not talking
actually...
39 weeks, I'm talking 12, no, 13,
you know,
14.
No one tells you, actually, constipation... it's coming, or wind, it's coming.
Can you imagine? I did like a sweep a couple of days. I mean, I didn't suffer from wind or trapped gas, but I did suffer from the constipation.
Oh, you really missed it. You really missed a great part of pregnancy.
Imagine I did a sweep and an ultrasound, whatever, to try and get the baby moving, like, you know, around the due date. And literally my gynae just does it and goes, listen, I'm going to give you a prescription for laxatives because you're full of poo. I was
like, thanks. You're literally full of it.
And I was like, oh my God, like how embarrassing. But I mean, this is like what she does every day.
Yes. You know, for
She's
them,
like, because you're going to squash the baby and make it more difficult. And I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, but you do start feeling. And like, I would feel that because I hadn't been to the bathroom for
the lack of
a
movement.
The nausea. Like, I couldn't eat, you know. Yes. And then finally you go to the bathroom. You're like, okay, now I
the heartburn. Please tell me someone got heartburn.
Like a dragon. The first
I mean,
pregnancy.
I was drinking.
Exactly what I used to say.
Like a dragon.
I was drinking the Gaviscon.
Wow.
Like a lugging.
I don't think so.
Massive heartburn.
What's this motherfucker? What am I having? Something? What is it?
Restaurants used to look at me weird because I asked for ice cream in December. All I could eat was caprese salad and vanilla ice cream. Because that's the only thing that I used to feel
cool.
Fresh and soothing.
And I never took anything. I never took any medication for it.
I used to take it.
I used to wake up
at 3 a.m.
drink it by the gallon.
And have the tablets just on my bedside table, like packets of it, because it was horrible. And the more I got pregnant, the worse it got.
I don't like milk alone. So whenever anyone used to tell me drink some milk, I'm like, how can I eat?
Milk used to make it worse for me. Because initially
I thought
milk would help. And then I would drink milk and it would get 10 times worse.
No, vanilla ice cream, caprese salad and strawberry chewing gum. It works.
Wow.
Strawberry chewing gum really works. Not mint, because the mint makes it worse.
Peppermint tea as well.
Oh my gosh. I think my go-to in general life is peppermint tea. Like if you feel a bit nauseous or whatever. But with heartburn, like it's obviously it made it. Now I'm thinking like the clock, the penny dropped, going, no, peppermint is going to fire it up.
Yeah.
So there I was sipping on my peppermint, going, mamma mia, something's happening.
You light it, it's a match.
No, it was really, really bad. But there are so many. Again, I guess in a context like this, we're talking about it. But on the outside, I really wonder what like the general society think of pregnancy and this, you know, miraculous thing. It's so beautiful. But realistic, a hell of a lot goes on. And a hell of a lot of uncomfortable things go on as well, like as you start getting bigger. The other day I tried to, even putting on my shoe, now I have to do a sort of strange, yep. a strange twist
actually
with my
actually a
anger.
Medical miracle and a medical mystery still.
Yeah. I love
these,
that.
A
medical
years.
Miracle and a medical mystery.
And I think we've just been speaking about like what society thinks, you know, you were saying, Max, of pregnancy, and it looks like we said the picture perfect mom, and then you go through it and it's a bit different to what we or what our expectation was. And if there was one thing you wish someone told you about pregnancy that you didn't expect, oof. If there was one thing you said, oh, no one mentioned this. Like for me, it was probably the stuff like how much the hormones would change my personality, even for a short period of time. But I think more than the bodily changes, for me, the hormone changes made me not recognize myself, mm-hmm. even if it was a short period of time. Mm-hmm. So that was a shock to me. So I don't know, what was it? If someone had to tell you...
To be fair, I think I kind of got lucky in this respect because I... Around February, I was due in June, I started getting a lot of back pain, like, but uncomfortable that I would have to stop in the road. Like, you made me think of myself as well. And any doctor you speak to is like, oh, you're pregnant. You know, you could go in, I think, carrying your head. And they'll be like, yeah, that happens when you're pregnant. Like, whatever
everything
happens.
Everything was under the umbrella of
and
pregnancy.
It was someone who said, see a woman's health physio, because, you know, maybe that will help. And you shouldn't be in so much pain. There is usually a reason, whether it's diastasis recti, which is the separation of your abs as yep. your uterus comes out further and your womb comes out further. Whether it's a trapped nerve because of the weight gain that comes with the pregnancy, whatever it is. So I think that's what maybe I wish, because I ended up finding out a bit late, but I did get there in time and I did go to physio. That really helped, like significantly made me more comfortable. So that's one of the things I think, don't just put everything down to, oh, you're pregnant. If you're feeling something, go and check it out at the right profession.
That's really good.
Oh, get some advice get to see how to.
In my case, I think that not during pregnancy as such. What I wish that someone would have told me was like, don't, because I used to tell everyone, now when I have the baby, come and see the baby. And I thought I would be this happy mom that just gave birth, that wants everyone to see the baby, to yeah. be there. And I wasn't. Yeah. So basically, I spent all my pregnancy saying, come to hospital, come mm-hmm. to my home, come to see, come, na 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 na. And then the minute it happened, I didn't want anyone
yeah.
within proximity of the building.
Yeah.
So
perhaps just wait to see how you're feeling and then
exactly.
tell
people. Yes, that's so good. Then for my second one, it was COVID, so no one could come to the hospital. And I was like,
the only
you can't, I'm really sorry, you can't. I wasn't sorry. So I can still remember the first day in hospital after I gave birth to my first. Everyone's in the room and I'm like,
this was a mistake. No. Yeah.
I couldn't take it.
So you wanted someone to tell you that the hormonal changes could happen
and you don't know. Wait. How you feel before yes. you make commitments.
How you feel emotionally and mentally and physically. But I was dead after
yes.
my birth story the first time around. After, I was a zombie. I couldn't talk, I couldn't communicate, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I was really ugly and white.
And you had a room full of
I had a room full of people yeah. and I'm snoozing with sentence. My husband tells me, you were not your body was not functioning.
Was giving up.
Basically, I lost a lot of blood and I couldn't.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
body was just shutting down yeah. on me.
Yeah. So
and
the
there's
last
all
thing
these
you needed
people.
Was my
yeah.
God.
So maybe you should wait to see how it's going to.
Yes, it's a very good point.
And no, that you never know how it's going to go. Because I was, no, I'll go. Natural
yes.
birth, so 20
different.
Minute stops, yeah. get out of the way, ready. I had that
mentality,
state of mind
yeah,
when I went
expectation.
In.
Expectation.
No. No. I think for me, it's, I think, not to bring the men into the conversation a little bit, but I think how your relationship can change and shift as well during the pregnancy. in different stages of the pregnancy as well. Like, I think I was a changed person in the first 4 months, and everything was getting his head. I wanted to bite his head off. You know, intimacy levels change. Yes, I mean, it's obviously, you had mentioned, I think, further, before in the some bright person will say, you wait till the baby comes. And it's completely true now that I've experienced that. But I think it's more the advice that ride the wave, it's okay, this also passes, but, you know, communicate while you're in it, in the sense. Mm-hmm. And I think with the second child, the second pregnancy now, I've been a bit more aware of, okay, this might not be me right now.
Yes.
Who pacienza me? I have another
disclaimer.
As a disclaimer, like, I'm really grumpy. I have 5% for you. Like, I cannot, cannot
that's
go.
That's a good one.
Because I can just imagine nothing is changing for them except you. Like, this person who maybe used to greet them with a smile when they came home. I mean, does anyone do that? I don't know. after a long day, but, you know, or like, we change.
Yeah.
We change. That's okay. No. I mean, it's tough. It's tough on you and it's tough on other people as well. So it's sort of like, I think I wish somebody told me that. Because when you're in it, it just feels like everything's changing, even your relationship.
Yes. Communicate that, your feelings.
I'm going to end the show because.
It's the end already.
It's the end already.
I feel like we could have another 7 shows.
I feel like, yes, we didn't even discuss. So many things we haven't even spoken about, like trying to maneuver sex when you're 35 weeks pregnant, if anyone's tried it. maybe we'll discuss that on another show.
I mean, who on earth feeling like a watermelon wants to do that?
But it helps to get the baby out, some people say. So I would.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, but I always try to end these shows with 2 questions, which I'm going to ask you to. So very quickly, the best piece of advice you've ever been given from mum to mum, or something you've learned as a mum hack along the way, and the worst piece of advice you've ever been given.
The best piece is everything is a phase and it moves on. Newborn is a phase. You're not going to have a 12-year-old who can't breastfeed kind of thing. If you're struggling with breastfeeding, you can get help, or you can choose to use bottle. Everything is a phase.
Just suddenly got a picture of a 12-year-old breastfeeding. I was like, that is very, very strange.
I mean, probably somewhere in the world there is. Yes. I'm not even going to comment
on
judgment.
That.
But you know, you're unlikely to have a 25-year-old sleeping in your bed, whatever.
Yes.
But everything is a phase. Yeah. So that, I think, if I had known on the nights where, for example, my daughter was cluster feeding, so feeding every 20 minutes, I saw the rest of my life feeding every 20 minutes, I swear. So that, I think I would always tell people, listen, take it day by day, because they change so much, these babies, week for week, let alone month for month. I think more than worst piece of advice, the worst, I just don't understand people when you have a pregnant person, you know, especially maybe a first-time mom, very anxious, and they're like, you're pregnant. Mela, enjoy your sleep now, because you're never going to sleep again.
Yes. How's that?
Wow, helpful? What a great thing to tell an anxious pregnant woman. How stupid. Enjoy your life now, because it's about to end.
End? I told you it's about to end.
Life as you know it, it's going to change. Yes, yes. Don't get, I would be a liar if I said it's not going to change. But my good, no, you enjoying no more holidays. What? What are you talking about? Like me and, I mean, maybe I'm lucky that I have you to help me. But we've gone on holidays, me and Ryan, just us two. It was a choice. Some people don't want to, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But yes, your life chain doesn't end. So it's more one piece of stupid advice, stupid comments. Please, next time you meet someone pregnant, use your brain a bit and imagine what this person is feeling. The last thing they need is your negativity.
Yeah. Thank you. Claire.
I tried to think while I was listening to her. It was very difficult. I think the best piece of advice is to listen to your gut a bit. So,
so true.
You know yourself, you know your body. Eventually when the baby comes, the mother instinct, even though you're not born a mother and it takes time to adjust to being a mother, but you know, no one knows your baby more than you. Unfortunately, not even the dad, because the baby's been with you for the whole 9 months. So that listen to your gut and listen to your, you know, instincts and be your baby's and your own doctor at times.
That's so
not
true.
Not to an extreme, but
yes, yes, yes.
Within limits. I think that was a very good, because sometimes you're convinced that there's something wrong on there, or you're not sure, and you take action and seek help, or you say this can wait a couple more days because I think it's nothing and it's going to add more stress to our lives if we're going to stay trying to figure out what it is, etc. And most times it was my gut feeling as a mom on my own body, pregnant or on my newborn or whatever, was close to right. And mm-hmm. when things get really bad, you'll know, and you'll act, for sure. You know. So I think I was lucky in that shismu, but that piece of advice stayed with me, and I try to exercise it even now that they're older. Worst piece of advice: a lot of people tell you a lot of things because they want you to be good, as in for the best. They say things for the best, but sometimes it's so difficult to meet all the expectations and all the perfect things that you need to do. It's very difficult. So again,
listen to your gut.
Yes. Because sometimes, even though it's good,
it's overwhelming
and it might not be the best
for
you. It might
not resonate with you and your life anyway.
What works for you doesn't work for someone else. What works for this baby doesn't work for another baby. So,
so true.
And another thing, if I may, because I forgot and I really felt this one deeply, be open to everything. That is my piece of advice. So when you're looking at the birth, be open for every possibility.
Oh, yes.
Because 100%. If you go in with a specific mindset, the aftermath is devastating. I went in with the mindset, it's natural, quick, easy, painless, very brave, Hercules. It didn't happen, and it broke me after.
Yes,
so I didn't manage C-section.
Yes, yes, yes.
It broke me. Open-minded. So you never know what's gonna come. You don't know what you're gonna take. If it's an epidural, if it's this or that.
Whatever's safe.
And communicate with your midwife. So make sure you tell your midwife what you'd prefer, but then let her guide you.
Yes.
I think that's really advice good. In general. We can take it. Go with your gut. And be open-minded, and I think that would just pave the way.
I know we're late, and it's mainly because of me that we're late. But I'm gonna just say one more thing, which applies to all areas.
I told you we need more episodes.
Applies to every area, but especially with you and your baby, no is a full sentence, and no explanation needs to come after that. Okay, so you know,
I think that's something you learn as
setting boundaries with family and friends. No is a full sentence. Can we come over at this time? Does it work? No, I don't need to explain to you why.
Yeah,
full stop. Set the boundaries because you might, like you found out, actually need them.
Yeah, agreed.
Ladies, thank you so much. You really were great guests. I'm so glad we had the show together, and I really. Wish you both a very happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you. Thank you.